want to welcome all of you to our Lord's Day service, and we do hope that the service is a blessing to you. Today is our anniversary, and ordinarily on Anniversary Sunday, it's a time to celebrate us and celebrate this building. And oft times our opening hymn is, "We built a sanctuary sure." And although we give lip service to the fact that the church really isn't a building, we all know that we love to gather in this beautiful place. I'm so thankful that a few of us can gather and at least show you what it looks like at home. But we do know that the church is more than the building. And in our context at Ephraim Moravian Church, we know that more than anything else because the church started in 1853, not with this building, but with a group of people who came to these shores and wanted to form a community here. And part of that community was to be in worship to Almighty God. And so we're going to talk a lot about the church, the people who established this church. During the service, we're so delighted that Cindy Steele is here today, and she's going to be singing a three-part prayer. The interpretation of the prayer, the translation, is listed on our Facebook page. But it's a prayer for morning, noon, and night. And it's about a prayer when the bells ring in a little village. So we do hope that the service blesses you today as we all prepare our hearts for worship.
Ephraim Congregation's watchword for 2020 is taken from the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 20 through 21. "Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever." Let us join together in singing hymn number 521, printed in your bulletin, "Son of Righteousness," verses 1 through 4. Today is written by Pastor Dan Olson. There's a good deal of interest these days in genealogy and family trees. I have a family tree from my grandmother Olson's side of the family that extends to the 12th century. I don't know how accurate it is, but that doesn't matter. What matters is that it gives me a sense of belonging. What were all these people like? Am I like them? What I do know for certain is that every last one of them was a sinner through and through. just like you, just like me. But through baptism, they have become the saints of all time. You and I, saints and sinners, join that happy throng doing our best in following our Lord. In February of 1853, another congregation of the saints of God stood on the shoreline of Eagle Harbor. Led by Pastor Iverson, the group cast their eyes upon the place that would become the future home of their church. Well supplied with faith and determination, and probably tormented by doubt and frustration, these people of God succeeded in establishing the first church in Door County. The blessing to us is they gave us a beautiful family tree, a wonderful genealogy of which we are a part. Today, we say welcome with open hearts and open doors, inviting saints and sinners just like us.
We come to this time of worship where we bring our prayer concerns and our praise reports. We're so grateful for the people all over this country who are speeding relief, both economically and physically, to people in need. We give our thanks to all those who are on the front lines of this pandemic. We want to remember in our prayers, we had mentioned a couple last week, Marge and Jerry. Jerry has since passed away, and we ask that you would be with, that the Lord would be with Marge as she mourns the death of her beloved partner. We also want to remember a couple from my last church, Andre and Claire. Andre is a police officer, and on the line of duty, he caught COVID-19. He is recovering at home, but it's been a difficult time for him. So we want to remember he and his wife and his entire family in our prayers. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we are so grateful today. So grateful for the many years that you have given to this church. So grateful for your love and your kindness. So grateful for all of those who are working diligently to speed relief to their neighbors. We bring before you those who are in need today, that you would surround Marge with your grace and your comfort as she mourns the loss of her beloved Jerry. We ask that you would be with Andre, that you would continue to strengthen him and heal him, and give to he and his family your grace and your peace. We ask that you would plant in our hearts the grace and the mercy that come from you. For we ask it in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. When we get to COVID-19 days, if somebody coughs, it's a major concern. I'm okay. I just have a tickle in my throat. Wanted to read from the diary of Reverend Iverson. This comes from the first day that they came over to the land here to clear it. And this is what Reverend Iverson said. Early in the morning, we rode away from Eagle Harbor, where we lived, over to the congregation's land. We were 8 persons with axes and other necessary tools, as well as food. And after a very hard day's work, we rode back late in the evening. I remember distinctly the first morning we began clearing the land. When we reached the lot assigned to me, I knelt down in the bushes and prayed earnestly that the Lord would bless our work and that he would here establish his own congregation. When I swung my axe above me for the first time, a deep impression of the solemnity of the occasion came over me. 2 brethren were assisting me. We worked with an intense eagerness, and soon the sweat flowed like tears. As Cindy comes to sing, there's a beautiful part of her prayer that I'd like to read to you about mourning. Another day has begun, bringing joy or heartache. Lord, I adore thee in this sublime first moment of the day, blessed by you, another day together. Another excerpt of Reverend Iverson's diary, we read, by the fall of 1853, there were five families living in Ephraim. The attendance at the meetings, which were held in the largest room in my house for some years, was therefore small. But when the weather and circumstances permitted, our friend Ole Larson and his family and other friends came to be present at our services. This was therefore the first settlement in beloved Ephraim, and it is mentioned here in lasting memory. In our gatherings, five each week, and in our prayer meeting, the dear Savior made himself known to us in a powerful and merciful manner, and very often we became so full of the Spirit by the word of God that we forgot all our care and poverty and considered ourselves very fortunate and happy. In the second prayer that Cindy will sing at midday, the final words say, "From noon till nightfall, guide our steps to thy son's harvest."
Our first scripture lesson is taken from Psalm 4. Answer me when I call, O God of my right. You gave me room when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. How long, you people, shall my honor suffer shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? But know that the Lord has set apart the faithful for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. When you are disturbed, do not sin. Ponder it on your beds and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, "Oh, that we might see some good. Let the light of your face shine on us, O Lord." You have put gladness in my heart more than when their grain and wine abound. I will both lie down and sleep in peace. For you alone, O Lord, make me lie down in safety. Our gospel lesson is taken from the book of Luke, chapter 24, verses 28 and 29. As they came near the village to which they were going, Jesus walked ahead as if he were going on. But they begged him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to stay with them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The scripture lesson I picked is not part of the normal lectionary. In fact, it's kind of out of season because it was picked for the first or second week of Easter. But I chose it because everything around us is out of season right now. This is a crazy time in which we are living. And this particular story, I know I've preached time and time again, and I've never seen what I've just seen this week. Because in this story, if you remember it well, it's about two people who are walking toward their home in Emmaus, and a divine visitor comes beside them, but they don't know that it's the divine one. They see an ordinary guy, and he has a conversation with them, and then they get to their home, and he looks like he's going on, and they say, come and stay with us. And then you remember that as he broke bread, all of a sudden Jesus disappeared, and they knew that they had had a divine visitation. And I've spoken many times about the conversation they had. I've spoken about breaking of bread. But this time when I looked at that scripture, I saw a piece of a sentence that I never gave thought to before. And it was when they said, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. I always thought that meant, well, it's late. Come on in and have a piece of supper with us. But the day is far spent has a certain ring of pathos about it, doesn't it? The day is far spent. And I've been thinking a lot about that phrase this week. The death toll in this nation is close to 90,000. Let's wrap our heads around that. That's only in 4 months. 90,000 of our fellow citizens, of our neighbors, are gone. And you think of how many more tens of thousands throughout this world, all of God's children. I think of the craziness in our media. If I open Facebook, I can see so many different voices coming at me that I'm not sure which ones to listen to. And as a pastor, I want to be informed, but I feel overwhelmed. I feel like the day is far spent. Can you understand that? Do you feel that with me? I feel like sometimes the despair almost comes into my bones. And I'm a person of faith, but I find myself pushed and pulled by so many voices. And I feel so often like the day is far spent. I can understand these two people who said those words so many thousands of years ago. The day was far spent for them. They were living in isolation and fear. Their fear was the Roman government. Their fear was that they were going to be hunted down and killed just like their friend Jesus. They were in terror of their lives. The day was far spent for them. I think of the people who began this community so many years ago and how often they must have felt that the day was far spent. Some of you might know the story. When they first came here, they thought it was going to be an agricultural wonderland. Somebody examined the soil. Of course, there was ice and snow over the soil. And so they dug down and they saw deep, rich soil, except that they didn't dig down far enough to find the rocks. And by the time that happened, they had already established their lives here, and they had to scramble to figure out how they were going to live in a rock-bound place. I wonder how many felt the day was far spent. I wonder how many felt the day was far spent when their own beloved pastor and his wife had to bury two little girls up in our cemetery. I wonder about 102 years ago when the flu pandemic raged through this country and this church was shut down for 4 months and there was no MeVo, no streaming services, no way to get the word out through the computer. How did they manage? The day was far spent, and now here we are today wondering what we're going to do with the day far spent. I think we need to look over the shoulders of those first Christians on that road when they said, come and stay with us. Abide with us, for the day is far spent. And that's one thing that we have at our disposal every time we feel that this day is far spent, that our energy is gone, that we are so bombarded with fear and anger and frustration that we don't know where to turn. We can do like those disciples of old and say to the heavenly guest, our day is far spent. Would you come and stay with us? The psalmist understood that. The psalmist had danger all around him. And even though he was beset on every side, even though he felt the people were slandering him and out to get him, he said these things. Let the light of your face shine on us, O Lord. You have put gladness in my heart. And I will both lay down and sleep in peace. For you alone, O Lord, make me lie down in safety. So I leave that word with us today. When we feel our days are far spent, would you invite the heavenly guest to come once more and abide until morning? Let us pray. Lord, we would remember all of those whose lives have been upended, all of those who are in despair, all of those who are frustrated. And as we plead to you that our day is far spent, may the soothing, comforting presence of the divine guest abide with us this day, this night, until the morning comes and the shadows are chased away. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.